home for the best Ravens coverage. What time is it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to feed you some more Ravens football news from the Nest. Ravens 0-2 on the season, losing yesterday 26-23 to the Las Vegas Raiders. John Harbaugh met with the media after the game, and you heard some of it during Nolan's update, but here's Harbsy talking about the penalties that seem to doom his team there.
Yeah, we had the false starts. Those really shouldn't happen. You know, those are things that we just got to just take a deep breath and clean, and that shouldn't happen. You know, that, we're better than that. We will be. I'm not worried about those going forward, but we've got to make sure we're diligent and intentional about not having those false starts. That would have extended drives, especially the one coming out there in mid-fourth quarter with the quarterback sneak. The holding on Ronnie, I mean, I don't know. I just have to look at it and see. Didn't, you know, nothing I think I could really coach him on that I saw on the replay, but maybe there's something more there than meets the eye.
And I've been harping on the Derrick Henry one. I mean, and that's the first thing Harbs brought up. I mean, that was the killer. That one was, and I've said it three times, 7 minutes, 36 seconds. You get a first down, the clock is running, and at worst case, you're going to punt with 5 minutes to go, and then you're going to put them back, you know, near the 20-yard line, and then they got to go 80 yards to tie it. And then they're not going to have, you know, I mean, let's just say, Bob, they drive it down there. Probably a minute left in the game. You know, maybe you get the ball, but at worst case, you're going to overtime. Worst case.
11 penalties for the Ravens yesterday, over 100 yards, only 3 for 15 for the Raiders. And one of our callers brought it up earlier in the show. They didn't get flagged until the second half, first time.
Yeah. And
that's usually very un-Raider-like. I think they have 2 penalties for the game even starts historically.
Matabike, that was a
yeah. I mean, in real time, I guess it looked
just because his head got pulled back.
But the replay showed it was more of a shoulder pad grab.
But the PIs were the killers. I mean, they called a bunch of PIs. You know, the one, you know, and then the Ronnie Stanley hold. That one looked, I mean, Harbs brought up 2 penalties. He didn't bring up the PIs, you know. He brought up the Ronnie Stanley hold, which was, that looked like kind of a phantom thing, too. I mean, he was blocking down on the guy, you know. It didn't look like the guy's shoulder turned or anything. I'll have to, when I get the all 22, I'll check it out. But, I mean, Harbs will probably be talking about that today because he's already watched the film.
Yeah, 2:30, John Harbaugh meets with the media, and we'll have that for you tomorrow when we get together for Turn It Up Tuesday. Well, the challenges. This is where Harbs, he takes some heat from Ravens fans. So explain what you were thinking here, John Harbaugh.
Yeah, you do. And, it's going fast. I mean, you know, they're running to the line. They're going to snap it to try to make sure you can't get the challenge off. So it's not like you have all day. And you don't get much of a look. Just the high leverage of it. I just felt like it was on me. I just felt like, you know what, I'm going to take a shot here and see if we'll win this one. Because it was a big chunk play. I mean, you know, you're not going to be undefeated on challenges over the course of the season. I don't think that's a difference in the game. Would have been nice to have the timeout, but, you know, you got to take a shot sometimes, too.
The only thing I would say to that one was, even Lamar Jackson is screaming at him, don't challenge. Don't challenge it. You know, because Lamar, I'm guessing, he went to Zay. Zay, did you catch it? No. You know?
Well, Zay was initially reacting. No, I caught it. Zay was the one that was screaming, that's a catch, that's a catch.
Right.
But you're, to Harbaugh's point there, obviously he's talking about the second half one with Adams on the sideline, but, they're running up to the line to get a playoff. Well, not when you're the team on offense. You dictate the pace.
Yeah. And then the other thing I would say is, I mean, they showed the first one. They showed it on TV a bunch of times. So the dude upstairs, you know, like we see, you know, like in baseball, they're like, hold up a minute. You know, the guy's looking at the pitcher. So the dude upstairs, he's got the same views that we have, and it should be like Harbs. No.
Well, that's my question, because someone brought up the whole Jerry Rosberg thing earlier, that they were close to hiring him, seemingly to be that guy in the booth that would be simply dedicated to challenge calls, saying, hey, Harbs, challenge this, don't challenge that. If there is a guy in the booth, and we're assuming there is, that's telling Harbaugh that, is yesterday not a fireable offense for that person? over. I mean, those were
the only reason it's
real
not
time.
If he's telling Harv's no, 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 and Harv's, you know, because okay, Harv yeah. said, "Hey, it's on me. My gut said to go."
Mm-hmm. Wait, what did he say? You got to take a shot or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a waste. You know, and for the Raiders, that guy is Marvin Lewis, who is standing right there next to AP.
Yeah, and you're not going to be undefeated in challenges, but you don't want to be winless.
We're kind
either.
Of over right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you want to hit 500 at least. Vinny at 81057. The Fan, Nolan McGraw is here. It is a little, Ravens dissecting a loss second straight. Lamar Jackson, Ravens quarterback, met with the media after yesterday's L and was asked, what's going on? How did this get away from you, Lamar?
No, I just feel like we just need to do what we do. You know, at the end of the day, those guys made plays. You know, they got us off the field. We got to find a way to stay on the field.
Extend drives, I guess.
Yeah, and like Lamar said it, their dudes made plays. I mean, in the second half, Davante Adams made three plays over 20 yards. Bowers made two plays over 20 yards in the second half. So, yeah, you got to give them credit. And that's not even counting the PIs. Not even counting those. So, I mean, you throw another two in there for Adams in the second half.
Well, Lamar, it seemed like Max Crosby was in your backfield as much as Derrick Henry was yesterday. So what about old 98's impact here?
Yeah, we got to find a way to, those impactful guys, we got to find a way to, you know, just knock them out the game, get them out the game. You know, not literally knock them out, but just find a way to just protect and just get them out the game. You know, just not let them just run around and do what they do.
To me, what he's saying is we got to find to get him, take him out of the game, not literally take
him
out
of the game. Hit him with a baseball bat. Right?
Yeah. Right, but block him. Yeah, and they did. They did a much better job of that when they started chipping and doing all the. I mean, like to start the game, it was like, whoa, you know. I mean, he had what, a sack and three tackles in the backfield on the first drive. It seemed like, and then they started chipping, and then he wasn't much of a factor after that.
Till late,
and when they ran the stunt up inside.
88-81057. The Fan will come back. Yeah, a little buy or sell. Money always makes you feel better. Do we have some extra change in account here on this lovely day in Baltimore? Well, we're alive. I guess that's all that matters. So we'll get into that, and we'll talk about the sports subjects. We'll also talk to Peter Schmuck from BaltimoreBaseball.com, the Orioles. Remember on June 20th how awesome they were? Well, since then, they've been the exact opposite of awesome for the most part. They have 12 games left to stabilize. Can they? Then we got the AFC North report as Baltimore and Cincinnati are both doing the same thing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Music.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan here on this Monday. Orioles are off. Ravens are licking their wounds. John Harbaugh is going to meet with the media coming up around 2:30. Terps are 2-1, winning at Virginia. We'll get into all the sports stuff. But right now, let's count that dough. Buy yourself.
Yeah, let's look at that money. I think that the Dow is up 83. S&P's down 14. NASDAQ's down 177. DraftKings up 42 cents. Under Armour's up 30 cents, 754.
As far as our sports topics, we're going to get started in the NFL, where the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase, we know they failed to reach a long-term extension prior to the season, and the fallout from that not very encouraging if you're a Cincinnati fan. Chase went back and forth about whether or not he was going to play in week one before ultimately suiting up. Days after that, reports started to surface from his camp that he believes the team misled him in regards to contract negotiations. We also know there's going to be no further talks while this season is going on. Chase, playing on an expiring contract, has even gone ahead and taken out a $50 million insurance policy on himself in the event of a serious injury. Now, we know winning has a way of solving a lot of drama. Dollar signs speak the most in the end. Vinny Byersell, the bridge between Chase and Cincinnati has been fully burned.
Nah, you know why? Because next year, when they make him the highest paid or whatever, he'll be all happy. Money makes people happy.
Well, it looked like Ayuk in San Francisco was beyond repair, and that got straightened out okay.
Chase, he hadn't done much last year.
No, he hasn't. Chase, 4 for 35 yesterday.
And a bit of a meltdown, too.
He had a 15-yarder.
Had to be restrained by his coach.
He was yelling at the refs.
Thought it was a
He was complaining about Harbaugh's clock management. Yeah.
Justified. We'll talk a little Terps here. They were able to bounce back over the weekend. The lone bright spot here for Maryland sports. 27-13 was your final score. They beat Virginia. And senior wide receiver Ty Felton, he turned in another strong day. 117 yards and a touchdown on 9 receptions. He now has 3 straight 100-yard games to open the season after having just 2 total in his career prior to this year. Also prior to this season, some buzz, we'll call it minimal buzz surrounding him, long shot buzz to get some NFL draft attention. He was recognized on the Senior Bowl watch list prior to the season starting, but Bob Byersell, Felton will boost his stock to at least a late round pick by the end of this year.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and buy it. I mean, it all depends on how fast he runs at the combines and all the fun stuff and the pro days. Dante Demas was doing this a couple years back, if we recall, and then had that catastrophic injury that seemingly he never recovered from. But I'm guessing a little stat padding coming up against Villanova this Saturday.
Would hope so.
Yeah, and
keep
then
the touchdown streak
then
going,
then you get
too.
Into conference play in earnest. And Billy Edwards will dictate how well Ty Felton goes. Because if he's on a cold spell, you know, it is what it is.
Well, last week we made jokes about Derek Carr turning in an MVP-like performance, but he went ahead and one-upped that performance with an even better one yesterday. He and the Saints offense lit up the Dallas defense early, 35 points in the first half alone. Alvin Kamara, he was spectacular as well. 180 total yards of offense, 4 touchdowns for him alone. So what's gotten into the New Orleans offense after kind of a nondescript season last year? Well, they did change offensive coordinators by hiring Clint Kubiak. Buy or sell, Vinny, Kubiak is the main reason for their offensive outburst through 2 weeks.
I'll buy it. That's the biggest difference right now. And they're playing with a ton of confidence. And maybe that he fits with Derek Carr extremely well. Kind of like when his dad was here, you know, when Gary was here with Flacco. All of a sudden, Flacco had a spectacular year.
Yeah, it felt like a match made in heaven.
And you know what? In Coops's year, who was the running back?
Forsett.
You know, all of a sudden, he was a Pro Bowl running back.
Yeah, the good old days of 10 years ago.
Well, let's move back to over to baseball, rather. A strange moment occurred in Saturday's Yankees and Red Sox game. Gerrit Cole was pitching for New York early in the game, halfway through the game, intentionally walked Rafael Devers. No one was on base, one out. It was in the fourth inning. New York also led 1-0 at the time. Why is this of note? Well, earlier in the game, Devers' first at bat, he was plunked by Gerrit Cole, drilled him right in the back with a cutter. This raised suspicion of Alex Cora, who suggested the hit-by-pitch was intentional, seeing as Cole had no intentions to actually pitch to Devers. Just a few innings later, his theory was what was different about the first at-bat and the second at-bat. We know Devers has had a ton of success against Cole in his career, a batting average over 300. Bob, are you buying or selling there was any intent behind the hit by pitch?
I'm absolutely buying it, because if you remember the last time Boston was in the Bronx, Devers hit a bomb off of Gerrit Cole and took forever to get around the bases. And Cole was kind of staring at him as he rounded the bags there. So I absolutely think there was intent involved. And Boston wound up blowing them out Saturday. Yay, Red Sox.
And we'll close with this here. However you feel about him, Robert Kraft, one of the most successful team owners in NFL history. As a result, he has a sizable contingent of people that are stumping for him to earn a spot in the Hall of Fame. And he himself, this was a story that came out last week, apparently offended by the lack of inclusion while someone like Jerry Jones has been in the Hall of Fame since 2017. What's preventing Kraft from getting in? A recent ESPN piece, again from last week, highlighted or interviewed a few anonymous Hall of Fame voters. Many of the people there that were interviewed cited the Spygate scandal as a big reason why Kraft is not in. Some would dispute, though, that he even had knowledge of it, but again, that's just digging up history. Buy or sell, Vinny, fair or not, Kraft won't get into the Hall of Fame because of the Spygate incident.
I'll sell it. A lot of owners that are in, they've had a lot of issues, you know, that they have done too. So I would think that he'll eventually get in.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some Oriole baseball. Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com. 12 games left in the regular season. Orioles trying to get this thing straightened out offensively. Who needs to step it up? Because the starting pitching coming together in a big way at the right time, but they just can't seem to get it all rolling at once. We got the AFC North report. Hey, Ravens and Bengals, we figured they'd be equal in the standings. Not in last place, though. That's where they are right now. After they dropped 2 out of 3 at Boston, 2 out of 3 at Detroit. Other than that, everything's great. Still in a strong playoff scenario. They're going to make the playoffs. How long will they last? That's another story. Can they catch New York? That's another story. Can they score any more runs? That's another story as well. I'm here to try to paint a nice picture of this story that's getting a little bit cloudy from BaltimoreBaseball.com. He is Peter Schmuck. Peter, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Well, I'm feeling great, except when I think back about the last week of Orioles baseball.
Well, like we were talking about it earlier, and on Friday night, you know, I'm watching the game with my wife, and he sends a text to me and Nolan. Orioles are getting no hit. Actually, I think it was a perfect game. They were dealing around the sixth inning, and right. I was like jokingly, half jokingly, just go ahead and get no hit and get it over with. And then they go 8 2/3 of that almost happening, and it came down to Santander actually having a chance to either drive in the tying run or winning game. But anyway, he couldn't get it done. Yesterday, 1 for 8 runners in scoring position. And the irony of it is, I guess, Peter, they're starting to get decent, if not really good, starting pitching on a daily basis here. So why is this team unable to get all them buttons, all these things together at the same time when it would be a great time to do so?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mystery and it isn't. I mean, we were looking ahead to this as a soft stretch, the soft spot in the schedule. It turned out to be one. It just wasn't for the Orioles. It was for the other teams. and that's frustrating. That doesn't necessarily mean that they can't go into the playoffs and win games. You just don't know. You saw what happened with the Texas Rangers last year. They were doing this about this time last year, too. The frustrating thing is that they basically lost the chemistry that made them so good for a year and a half, or even 2 years and a half, as they progressed through into the 101 win season. And it's reflected in the at bats they take. It's reflected in the defense they play. It's reflected in the fact that they acquired guys who weren't part of that chemistry, who really don't fit into this team. I know they're right-handed hitters who you can plug in and pinch hit, and they've done okay, but they're part of the new chemistry, and the new chemistry isn't working.
And you mentioned, you know, the new chemistry. Go back to the trade deadline, and hindsight's always 2020. I know Trevor Rogers has been pitching much better as of late at Norfolk, but Norby could really come in handy. Stowers always seemed, Peter, to be that guy that's going to get caught and that numbers crunch in the outfield. Austin Hayes was traded away. Yes, he's had 2 stints on the IL with Philly, but are those some of the moves that maybe have altered the chemistry? Because say what you will about Stowers and Norby, those are guys that came up through the ranks with the Gunners and the Adleys and the Graysons.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Norby thing was just bad luck. You know, they thought he was a surplus player, and then the injuries mounted up right after the trade deadline. And now you say, why don't we have that guy? Well, it made sense at the time, and it doesn't make sense since. And that's just part of what's gone on the last couple of months. I mean, it's sad. This team is still managing to play just short of 500 ball, so they probably are going to, you know, get in with the first wild card, probably. But I tell you what, I've watched the last five or six games, and there's no guarantee the Giants don't sweep them. I mean, there's no guarantee they win another game. I mean, it really is scary to watch the way they're playing. This is a team that I maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but every time they have guys on first base, every time they have guys in scoring position, it looks really promising. The next guy up swings at the first pitch and pops it up or hits in a double play. They're so eager. They're so anxious. It's like this anxiety that develops when you're slumping, and they just can't get out of it. And so, you know, that's why I agreed with you. I at the time you're talking about the perfect game slash no hitter, that maybe that would be a watershed moment if they got no hit. It would be one of those things that kind of, it's like being slapped, you know, you watch the old spy movies and the guy's slapping this person in the face and saying, get hold of yourself. But so far, no good.
Peter Schmuck, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The Orioles are off today. Giants come to town for three, then the Tigers. And, you know, we'll get back to ragging on the Ravens here. It's going to make us feel better about the Orioles a little bit in a few minutes. But what about Detroit and, you know, Skubal, for instance? Trade deadline chatter about him. They seem Detroit reluctant to trade him because they got, like the Orioles, this really good young nucleus, and they might even sneak into the wild card when it's all said and done. But we look at the Tigers now as one of these sleeping Giants, Peter, moving forward in the next couple of years in the American League East.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I'm starting to see the Red Sox rebounding, you know, quicker than expected. You know, there's teams that are sort of taking a page from the old Houston Astros playbook, which, you know, Mike Elias helped create and then took it to Baltimore. You know, the baseball, you know, has its ebbs and flows, and this is in certain quarters, this is where baseball is going right now. You're having these teams that are bringing up players quickly, and those players are performing, and that's why it's hard to predict what's going to happen when you have an Orioles team that's actually pitching well and still. These teams are getting clutch hits. These guys, you think, hey, these are teams that a good pitcher should dominate, that a Corbin Burns should dominate. But somehow they found a way because they're young and they're part of this new analytical craze. And it's not new anymore. But the game is changing, and it's also been changed tremendously by the rules changes that have come down the pike the last few years. And so the postseason, the whole postseason picture is totally different now. And what happened last year in the postseason with the Diamondbacks and the Rangers, I think that's going to be the norm. I just think it's going to be a real toss-up every time we start that four-tiered postseason format.
Well, Peter, since, you know, Harvest is getting killed today, what kind of job do you think Hyder has done over the last couple months?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you lose all those players with the injuries. I mean, at the All-Star break, I was thinking this guy might be Manager of the Year for the third time in a row, you know, if you count both Manager of the Year awards, because they lost all this starting pitching and they were still there. And they kept losing stuff and they kept losing players. So I don't think he's in any danger by any means. I mean, I think if they, you know, I once covered an Angels team, I think, lost their last 16 games in a row or something like that. It was a long time ago in the 80s. I don't think that if this team totally collapsed, I still don't think that would put him in danger of losing his job because they have excuses. I mean, they certainly do. And I worry that the people they're depending on to come back, as Jacob, you know, Webb came back yesterday, but end up giving up a key run. And, you know, who knows what you're going to get when Jordan Westberg comes back with off a broken hand and hasn't had any appreciable minor league at bats. And they're going to try to probably force him in there at the end if he can do it. Who knows what you get? And so, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. It'll be intriguing, and it could also be tragic.
Peter Schmuck, what's happening at BaltimoreBaseball.com here on this Monday?
Well, I was just always trying to find out where Rich Dubroff is. It's sort of a where's Waldo kind of thing, you know. And we're just having fun. I mean, we you know, in my case, you guys know that I retired a few years ago, and I'm not fully involved in BaltimoreBaseball.com, but they've given me an opportunity to kind of keep my head in the game, and I appreciate that. And I think they do a great job. I mean, it's a nice site, and I think people ought to go there and enjoy it.
Peter, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll catch up with you before the playoffs.
Sounds great.
Thanks,
good
Peter.
To you guys.
All right, Peter Schmuck, everybody. We'll come back, get to the football talk again, more specifically the AFC North. Ravens lost, but other teams involved. We'll get into those highlights when we return. NFL Lunch coming up, 1 o'clock. Talk about some of the other scores. Get to our picks as well. American League East Report at 1:15. Then Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network. Ravens are 0-2. Who would have saw that one coming? I don't think he did. Go to Baltimore. It's Antoine. Antoine, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show here on this Monday.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's
good
up, Antoine?
Afternoon to y'all.
How you doing, bud?
If y'all remember, I called about a week and a half ago, and I said that I was real concerned about, you know, Zach Orban, D coordinator, and the defense. And you saw it yesterday. The defense had no communication, and they was just the back end was just letting Devontae. And I mean, the first half, great. And nobody's really going to run on us, but passing, they're gonna torch us.
When you're playing man coverage, you know, and you're going against a great receiver, they were just throwing it up. That's all they were doing.
Right. And I mean, that's what I say. It was no communication. It was really no checkoffs, no nothing. You know, they just kind of just lined up and just went at them. Offensively, ooh, man. I mean, you know, this is really the first time that you didn't see Mark Andrews more involved in the offense. And I know they're trying to spread it around, but sometimes Lamar just looks a little lost out there. And, I mean, there was throws he know he should have made. And, I mean, yeah, and here's something to really take note of. And go back the last couple of years when the Ravens would, you know, get a pretty decent drive and they'll get within that Justin Tucker range, he'll miss it. It's either a very close game to where they lose it or they win by like a point. Mm-hmm. And you can go back and really check that he'll miss one field goal, and it always happens. Like yesterday, as soon as he missed that 53-yard, I think, they said, oh, the Ravens are not going to do well.
Well, you know what's funny about that is they took that ball, you know, when the Ravens missed, they took it, and they ended up making a 51-yarder. So, I mean, that drive was a difference of 3 points. If he makes that, the Ravens are a +3. You know, and then they're kicking off. And then they got great field position. Then they get the field goal right before the half.
All right, let's get around the division a little bit here. The AFC North, Cleveland Browns, after that debacle at home last week against Dallas, they go on the road, take on Jacksonville. I figured Jacksonville at home be all fired up after choking one away against Miami. Well, they weren't fired up. Matter of fact, Deshaun Watson was a little bit.
Watson slithers through. Drive for the Browns leads to a touchdown.
CBS on the call there. Deshaun Watson rushing in for a TD and throw the ball all that great. 22 of 34 for a .186, quarterback rating of 78.8, but did some damage with his legs as the Browns beat Jacksonville 18 to 13 yesterday. The Jags dropped to 0-2 on the season.
That was a shocker to me, Bob. I mean, I picked Jacksonville to win too, just for the same reasons you did, coming home. And Cleveland got roasted, and their defense usually doesn't travel well on the road. And they played well. But the problem was Jacksonville didn't do squat.
No, and they haven't done squat for a couple of weeks. At what point does Doug Peterson start to face a little heat here?
Oh, I think it's coming, Bob. I mean, because he's been there, what, 3 years now?
Yep.
Because I'll
tell
you,
they choked last year.
Yeah. Well, Trent Baalke's gonna do the same thing he did with Jim Harbaugh at San Fran. You know, he's gonna start. You know, you watch, leaks will start coming out and stuff from the media about Peterson from. It'll be, you know, like, where did that come from? Trent Baalke.
Pittsburgh. They went to Denver, taking on the Broncos. And Justin Fields, well, is he more than a game manager? We'll find out as the season progresses. But yesterday did what he had to do.
Fields to the end zone. It's caught. Washington for the Steelers touchdown.
Darnell Washington on the reception. All of these highlights, by the way, courtesy of CBS. Justin Fields, 13 for 20. With that touchdown there, 97.3 quarterback rating. But I think, Vinny, 13-6 final score. Story of the Steelers season is going to be that defense and how good they're going to be.
Yep, it's going to be they're going to play off defense and their kicker and win close games and run the football. They're going to just play it close to the best.
And then finally in the division yesterday, it happened later on in the afternoon, Kansas City taking on the Bengals. Very entertaining game, but Harrison Butker doing some Harrison Butker stuff at the end.
Three rushing. Here he's coming up. Now he's going laterally. He's going to throw it on the run, and it's broken up, and there's no flag. Oh, flag comes in late.
Go.
A flag comes in late. Butker's kick for the win. He buries it.
A little late flaggage there at Arrowhead against Cincinnati. Then Harrison Butker, 51-yard field goal right down the middle, 26-25. The Chiefs, two games in a row, decided by the last play. The Ravens touchdown that wasn't, and then the game-winning field goal yesterday.
Yeah, and at home. And you know what? Super Bowl champ, you kind of expect that. And you know what? Everybody in the stadium, they expect to win. And like the referee, late flag, you expect, because like when you first saw it, oh, game's over. Oh, no, here comes a flag. Oh, the Chiefs won again. Of course they did.
Ravens lose 26-23. We'll get into that one more in depth when we get to the top of the hour, a little NFL lunch. Also get to our picks from this past weekend, college and pro. And there's a game tonight in the National Football League is the Philadelphia Eagles minus A.J. Brown take on Atlanta. And the first game of the Kirk Cousins era in Atlanta with the Falcons, Vinny, turned out to be quite the dud as Pittsburgh was all over him like a Kmart suit last week.
Yeah, I think, Bob, it was kind of like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we thought in that first game he looked kind of slow and old and stuff. And I thought that was similar to Kirk Cousins last week. I thought he didn't move around that good. And you know what? Both came off the Achilles injuries. Both are older quarterbacks. And I think Aaron was much better yesterday. I think Cousins will be better tonight, but I don't know if it would be good enough for them to win.
Yeah, Philadelphia 5.5-point favorites over Atlanta. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan. No A.J. Brown. I'm guessing Devontae Smith could be in line for a nice hefty workload there.
And then Dotson. Yeah. I would think Dotson and Barkley will, you know, get a lot. But, I mean, Bob, as crazy as what's been going on, you know, in football over the weekend, if Philly loses, oh, those fans are going to be irate tonight.
Yeah, hey, Bijan Robinson might have himself a day here.
Pitts.
Yeah, they've got weapons.
Yes.
Drake London, they got some dudes to work with there in Atlanta, but that's Monday Night Football. When we come back, NFL Lunch, going to hear more from the Ravens, talking about that defeat at the hand of the Raiders. We'll get to our picks. Got the American League East report. Going to talk about them standings, things starting to crystallize just a little bit in the National League anyway, in regards to the wild card hopefuls. Certain things in the American League still need to be determined. You know, like Detroit, only 2.5 out of the wild card. Birds chasing the Yankees, though, 3 back in the East.